Let's take our Bibles again and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 31. I'd like to look at this last verse, going through this blessed book, verse by verse, word by word. Proverbs 11:31. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Our Father, you instructed us by your Holy Spirit, pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks. This is the will of God, Christ Jesus, concerning this people. Lord, would you bless this first our heart? Lord, would you cause it to burn within us, give us understanding, that we might behold him who is altogether lovely. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This passage of Scripture deals with a truth, an exhortation that we ought to take special notice of. Behold, take note, listen up, be advised. Take notice here. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed, rewarded, is what that word means, rewarded, in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. Now, when you stop and think about it, that scripture just set forth that the righteous, they're going to have a reward in the earth. Concerning the wicked, the sinner, scripture says much more. Now, when I start, and I know when you start, when you stop and you start thinking about this, you think, well, I know there's a heavenly reward. I know that 1 Peter 1:4 says this, speaking of our inheritance and salvation, it says that it's an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, or in the margin it says for us, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I know that there's a glorious reward. We think on that often, don't we? We think about those that have departed. Paul talks about the time of my departure is at hand. He spoke of that in such tender terms. And for a believer, and I do understand that as frail creatures, we struggle. I know we do. You start thinking right now about departing and, well, there's a lot of things we don't know about that, isn't there? That we never crossed that bridge before somehow. But I can tell you this, boy, some of the blessed thoughts that I have on saints that have departed and watched and saw. Can it be that God's people can truly leave and that the death of the righteous can be a precious thing? Well, Scripture sets forth it is. Precious in the sight of the Lord, I know that. And for those that die in the Lord, died in the faith. I know that there's a reward that we're going to behold those that know Him. But the Scripture sets forth right here that the righteous shall be recompensed or rewarded in the earth. What does that mean? Well, it means it starts right here. It begins here. In time, all those that the Father has given the Son, all those that Christ has eternally stood for as the surety, all those that the Father, before the foundation of the world, viewed Christ as being the Lamb slain, they've never been under the condemnation of God. Never. Never. God has not appointed us. That's what Paul said to the church of Thessalonica. God has not appointed us to wrath. Someone said, well, they were under the wrath of God until they were converted. At what point then did God change His mind? He's never changed. No, I do understand that our thoughts are not His thoughts, and our ways are not His ways, but God is true and man's a liar. Yeah. Now that's just the way it is. But for the righteous, in time, they're going to know something of His eternal purpose to show them mercy. And they're going to experience in this earth the knowledge of regenerating grace. But let me ask you this. What is, when it comes right down to it, what is the greatest blessing? What is the reward? What is that recompense in this earth? Well, let me tell you, and it's going to be kind of about three or four statements that I'm going to have to make, going to bound up in this. You know, I can't set forth things. I can set them forth, you know, by where God Almighty is eternal. Everything with God is yea and amen right now. You know, with me and you, we have to just kind of talk and, you know. But let me tell you about the blessed reward of God's people in this world. In this world. I was thinking about that just sitting here just a minute ago when I turned over to the book of Acts. Let me just read this to you. I'll read it to you. Acts chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And he journeyed, and he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now I want you to listen to this next verse, because I'm going to tell you about the reward. This is where this reward starts being experienced. Can I say it like that? And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Let me tell you where the recompense or the reward of God's people. Let me tell you where we start realizing it. God Almighty's already known it. He's always known it. I love you with everlasting love. God never started loving His people. I've always loved you. But somewhere along the line, His people start knowing something about Him. And let me tell you where this great reward starts. It starts by being told by the Spirit of God what I am by nature. Saul of Tarsus? Why persecutest thou me? The reward or the recompense of the righteous in this earth starts when they realize what they are by nature and what they've done by nature against Him, hated Him. To be brought to a point to where I realize that I am a needy, worthless sinner against God, a rebel against God. What a reward. What a great reward that God Almighty would teach me something of what I am. I didn't know that. I thought I was pretty good. Let me tell you where that reward continues. After Almighty God reveals to us what we are by nature, that reward continues by Him showing us our continual need of Him. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son of whom He receiveth. Listen to this scripture in Amos 3:2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Oh, what a blessing. Sovereign, electing, choosing grace. God Almighty that loved me before the foundation of the world. Yeah, that's right. And let me tell you what I'm going to do for you. You that I've chosen. You that I've revealed my sovereign electing grace to. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore will I punish you for all your iniquities. Punishment. Not in wrath. There's no wrath. Not in condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. But in loving chastisement, Almighty God is not going to let His people be wavered. I told you about time. Of course, I got one of my kids here this morning. Hannah, Sam, girls, Sammy's mom. Nancy's with us. Hannah could probably tell you that growing up, I cut them some slack, but not much. It's pretty tight, you know. I remember one time Gabe coming up to me, and he was probably 18, 19 years old. And I told you this before. He said, Dad, you know the best thing you ever did for me? It's whip me. Whenever he deserved it, I just go into that bedroom and tell him, say, okay, there's the bed, lay over. Take my belt off. He always got three licks, wasn't that, Hannah? Was that it? Wasn't it three? Yep. And I'd hold them. I'd caress them and tell them, I said, I love you. You know I love you. You're not going to act like that. You're not going to embarrass me. You're not going to embarrass your mama. But I'm going to go to somebody's house and leave that house. And they said, man, wow. Sure enjoyed the parents coming. Man, I wish they'd leave those kids home. Ain't going to happen. You and I are going to do business when we get home. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And scourgeth. Everyone. If you be without chastisement, you're not His. Nearness to the Lord is a priceless and it's an awesome gift. But God's people are going to be instructed. We're frail creatures. There's a nature that's in us that I'm telling you that we were born with, and it has never changed. That which is flesh is flesh. It is not improved. It's not better. It never gets better. Almighty God is going to deal with us as children. It's necessary that God's people be under His discipline. And they've got to be instructed with the infirmities that God Almighty wisely sends to them. But you know, and I've told you this again, but boy, how we all need to be reminded. Where is the chastisement? Really, where is it? I told you people all get sick. Believers get sick just like unbelievers. Believers die just like unbelievers. Believers have money problems just like unbelievers. You know, people start going through and they'll talk about stuff with it. Oh, I tell you, I have just, man, the Lord, in the sufferings, I got sick. All people get sick. I got money. I got this. Let me tell you the chastisement that God's people know something about. Matthew, I'll read this to you again. Matthew 26, verse 69. And following, Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that was there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said to him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out, and he wept bitterly. Let me tell you one of the hardest things to have to bear for a believer is when we behold the inconsistencies in ourselves toward Him. Inconsistency. Denials in our heart what it is. Something comes up and we'll play second fiddle. And a believer, you'll start thinking on that. Oh, that hurt. That hurt. Did I in my heart, let me ask you something. How many people do you think knew what Peter felt inside? Peter, the Lord. But Peter knew what he felt like. If you be without chastisement, I'm telling you, there is nothing that grieves the believer more than their inconsistencies toward Him. I mean, just, I know this in myself. I cannot do anything to merit, to establish, to keep my salvation before Him. I know that. But I'll tell you something, I see something of the frailty of my old heart. And it grieves me. You that know Him, that's what John Newton says, you that know Him, is it not that way? Doesn't it grieve you when you look inside and you see it all dark and wild? You ask yourself, can I deem myself a child? When I see myself and I told you about this. Lately, trying to read or trying to seek Him, trying to be alone, trying to be obedient, you know, getting along in your closet prayer. you start, you know, somewhere. I was over here, you know. What was that? Where did that come from? Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. A believer knows something about that. A believer knows something. Behold, the righteous shall be rewarded in this earth. The greatest exhibition of His mercy and grace is when He tells you, I love you, and I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you yourself. Natural man hears of the grace of God and the sustaining mercy of God. He hears about it, and it's just a fleeting moment. It's good for just a moment. It's good for a little while. But day in, day out, no. Let me tell you about the reward. Let me tell you about the recompense of those that are made righteous by the imputed righteousness of Christ, the blood of Christ. Let me tell you something about their great reward. The realization of God's presence, the realization of God's love toward them. Here's what they say. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live anymore and any longer than how? People listen to that and they think, I don't understand. How can you make, why is it such a big deal to you? I'm telling you, if God ever opens a man or a woman's heart, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And all the while, they go through this world thinking, if He leaves me alone, what am I going to do? Where am I going? That's what Peter said. Lord, where are we going to go? Will you go away also? Where? Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And we're sure you're the Christ. The sheep know the favor of God toward them by the hand of His chastisement. Now I'm telling you that that's just so. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Man, people would think, well, I tell you how I can know the blessing of Almighty God is because I'm always on the mountaintop and I'm always happy and I'm always joyful. David said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn my statutes. That's the best thing in the world. Because I'm telling you, when things appear as though they're always on the up and up, let me tell you how quickly we forget. And that's just the way it is. And the Lord wisely withdraws the warmth of His presence, the realization He never leaves and never forsakes. But I'm telling you, when He wisely withdraws the realization of His presence, causes His people to long after Him. Let me ask you this. Do you find it in your heart, saying as the bride said in Song of Solomon, saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? You know where He is? Man, can you tell? Somebody tell me about God. That's what I believe. Tell me one more time how He put away my guilt. Tell me one more time. Tell me one more time of that mercy that never leaves, never forsakes. Oh, I'm telling you, when He wisely sends that chastening mercy to His people, causes His people to say afresh unto them, I found Him whom my soul loved. I held Him and I wouldn't let Him go. Isn't that the most tender thing you've ever heard? I mean, you think, oh, doesn't it just grieve you when you think about, you know, as Paul the Apostle said in Romans chapter 7, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? we go through this life, we just like everybody else. We have problems, this, that, and the other. But I'm telling you, for a believer, I'll tell you where they walk. They walk looking unto Him and thinking unto Him. Lord, thank You. How merciful You've been to me that You don't leave me alone. That You teach me through Your Word. That You never leave me. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. They're going to know that God is their great, exceedingly great reward. And they're going to know His love toward them by the hand of His chastening mercy, whom the Lord loves. Out of all the people here, I've known You, therefore, I'm going to deal with You. What a reward. Boy, an unbeliever says that, man, I tell you what, I don't know anything about that. Well, much more, the wicked and the sinner. Can I just sum this up? I'll make a few more statements, but let me sum it up. The righteous behold the reward, the recompense in this earth. But do you know what the wicked and the sinner, those left themselves, God is silent to them and lets them just go and do what they want to do. You that know Him, let me ask you this. Think about the hand of Almighty God and His mercy that brought you to a knowledge of who He is and who you are. Saul was all, I mean, he thought he was somebody. He was religious. Man, he was so, well, in fact, he said concerning himself, I blame this for the law of God. I got it. And Almighty God, what a reward. Almighty God showed him what He was. Showed him His need of Christ. And then revealed to him, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to let you do that. I wouldn't let my kids go. If I knew that my kids was going to go somewhere and it was going to be to their harm, I was not going to let them do it. No, you're not going to do that. Well, everybody else is doing it. Well, that's fine. Everybody else, the kid's not mine. You're mine. No, you ain't going to the street. No, you're not going to do that. No, you're not. Why? Because I love you. What a reward. I'm going to set the bounds. Kids love to know where the bounds are. They love to know where the bounds are. They're so safe. I love to know where the boundaries are. Much more the wicked sinner. Oh, while the righteous are chastened in this earth because they're sons and they're made to be hungry and thirst after righteousness because the Lord's not going to let them wander unchecked. The wicked and the unregenerate, they go through this life left to themselves. And here, and God is just. He's just. He's just. I'm a just God. It is not, no man, as I've said before, no man's ever going to lay at the feet of Christ and just say, this, you know, the reason I've rebelled against you is because you didn't do so and so. No, men do just what they want to do. Believers and unbelievers both, they do just what they want to do. A believer wants to follow after Him, and an unbeliever wants to resist Him. But after Almighty God leaves a man to himself because he's just, and a man leaves this world in rebellion against God, he's going to get just exactly what he wanted. He would have no part of Christ, and eternally he'll have no part of Christ. That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted. I want to rebel against him. That's what you'll have. Under the judgment of God Almighty for rebellion. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:17-18, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Peter is saying the time is that God is going to absolutely deal with his people. As I said, not in condemnation, in wrath. Because there's none. The trial, affliction, suffering to prove or to reveal their faithfulness toward him. When Almighty God sends trials and tribulations and proofs, God's people will not leave. Why? Because they're kept by the power of God through faith. But what honor. I read something the other day. William Jay said this. He said, often, he said, God's people are brought out of this world quickly. Sometimes more slowly. All the time according to his will and purpose. But he said, whichever. He said, it's always going to be according to God's good pleasure, to the greatest honor to himself. If one leaves this world, God Almighty leaves it in the faith. God Almighty is going to keep them. And he's going to prove that what he's given them remains. Because the gifts of God, without repentance, God doesn't take them back. God give a man faith, that man's going to die in the faith. Look at Hebrews 11, and we'll close. Hebrews 11, chapter 35, Hebrews 11, verse 35, 38. Hebrews 11. It's a great chapter concerning faith. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, in caves of the earth. All in these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us cannot be made perfect. Taught concerning the perfection of Christ we have. Here we are in this world today. Scripture says, the righteous are scarcely saved. That doesn't mean a near miss either. That's not what it means. It means to behold the preciousness of salvation. Scarcely be saved. The scarceness of salvation means the preciousness of it. One way. Singleness of salvation. All of grace. Christ. No other. Salvation is all of God's grace without any work of righteousness on man's part. God saves, and then God tells, and gives faith to believe. And then God keeps, and God corrects, God reproves. The Lord is going to show his own, his loving kindness. And loving kindness, according to God's word, he's going to chasten those that he's chosen in Christ. He's going to keep them. And they're going to know He did this according to love. He kept me. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked in the sky. Boy, that's not the way the world thinks. And we hear people say today, well, I just love my kids too much, you know, to save them or correct them. Scripture says if you don't correct them, you don't love them. Almighty God, wise God, how wonderfully merciful He is to His people that He keeps them. And keeps them all the while knowing, I didn't do anything to deserve this. Salvation was all of His mercy and grace. And He's shown me what He's done for me by His blessed hand. Rewarded me in this life. May the Lord add His blessing to the preaching and the hearing of His gospel for Christ's sake. Amen.